We are studying the Beatitude, and let's open our Bible in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Are you all there? Matthew chapter 5. And how many of you here wants to be blessed? Anybody? Everybody. And even the world is looking for blessing. And if you want to be happy, bless or you want to be happy. And these are the ways that God wants us to do. And we have been studying the Beatitude, which is the framework of His constitution. And if you and I wants to live and walk, you will be blessed if you follow this constitution, this framework that God has given to us. Amen. So let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12, and I'm gonna read it again in my New International Version. You might have a New Living Translation in there or New King James. And in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 1, it says, "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.' In verse 12, 'Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophet who were before you.'" Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the word that you have given to your disciples, Lord God, and that it's also applicable for us, Lord, in this side of the cross, Lord Jesus, that receive you as our Lord and Savior of our life. And Father, we pray right now for the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us, Lord, that we will not astray, that we will not fall astray, Lord, and that we will be in your way, Lord God. And Father, we thank you and we bless you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we had been studying the Beatitude, the constitution, the framework that God has given to his disciples. And he said that blessed, and the first one that we studied is that blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And then last week, we say that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So these are not options that God has given to his disciples. These are the standard, the guide for a normal Christian walk. And this is not just for the pastor or bishop or whatever, those super saint. These are for ordinary disciples, for ordinary, just you and me. So, I don't know if you'd rather be blessed and happy than miserable and sad. God intended that there is a lifestyle that is going to bring blessedness. There is a lifestyle that will make you happy. And it's not a fading happiness. And those are the first three things that we studied. And I was studying about the lesson that we have, and I look up the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America, is that in 1776, and one of the things that they have declared in that Article 4 is that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So here in this country, I think this is the only country that has given this freedom, this life, and liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That it says also that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish and institute new government. So the government that we have, the Declaration of Independence, is that it declared that if there's a government or government officials that is trying to take it out from that freedom, from that liberty and life and pursuit of happiness, they will be taken out from their office. So that's the world thing, is that we have pursuit in happiness. But do you know that in the Bible, it doesn't talk about pursuing happiness? Amen? Did you know that the Bible, it doesn't say that you have to pursue happiness? Happiness is the byproduct of relationship with God. That's why the happiness, the blessedness that God is talking about, it will last forever, because God's love never fails. Amen? So it's something that you don't pursue happiness. Happiness is the byproduct of righteousness. And that's why in Romans chapter 12, it says that the kingdom of God is what? The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. In that order, you cannot have peace if you don't have righteousness. You cannot have joy if you don't have righteousness, because righteousness is the byproduct, or happiness is the byproduct of being righteous with God. Amen? And later we look up this righteousness, but as we continue our study, the fourth one, or says, blessed are happy are those who are humble and have good attitude before God and man, for they shall enjoy living on this earth. That was, we talked about that last week, right? Right? So how many believe that we can endure life in this earth? You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till we go to heaven to enjoy life. God says, you know what? You can enjoy life while here in the earth. Amen? The enjoyment, the blessing, or the peace that we can enjoy here is everlasting. It's not it's not an outside that you can go it from the external part, but the internal part. God is talking about the internal part of a person that we can enjoy while we're still on earth. Right? So now we come to a transition. The first three that we talked about last week is talking about focusing on you. On me as an individual. Say, blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Blessed are you that you repent because of your sin. Blessed are you who are meek. So now that was focusing on our as a person. But now we are in transition. Focus. The first one is focus on man, but this time is focus on God. See, the first three that we learned last week is about the horizontal. Horizontal is like that, right? horizontal relationship that we have, or horizontal kind of life that we have. Now we go to this to the next one. It's more on a vertical relationship. Amen? It's a vertical relationship. And this is very important because there's a transgression, there's a progression, there is an active going on in our life, that as God's work in our life, there's a progression. If a man does not have meek spirit, he'll never hunger and thirst after the Lord. Right? If we are not poor in spirit, we'll never see the kingdom. When we don't mourn for our sin, we will not be comforted. And if we are not meek, we will not inherit on earth. So now, if we are not meek, if we don't have a meek spirit, we will not hunger and thirst after the Lord. Amen? And that's why that three lesson that we have is very important. Those are foundational verse that we need as a disciple, as a follower of Christ. We need to have that in proper place, or else the rest of this beatitude, it's mixed up. Amen. So what I'm saying is that if we don't have a meek spirit, we will never hunger and thirst for God. So if he is proud and he thinks he is self-sufficient, he'll never hunger after the Lord. Amen? So this is the real test of Christianity. It's a normal. It's normal to hunger and thirst after God. As a Christian, that's norm. Amen? For you and me, it's norm to hunger and thirst for Christ. This is not subnormal. This is not a super spiritual a verse. It's a normal to hunger and thirst after the Lord. Amen? It is part of our life. It's an instinct for Christian to hunger and thirst for God. As it is normal for those who are in the world to commit sin. Amen? It's normal for those who are not Christian to long to sin. Right? Amen? Amen? Amen. They like to indulge. They like to go out and mix sin. They like to drink. They like sex. They like everything that the world can offer. So it's normal for a sinner to sin. That is his nature. Just as normal for Christian to desire righteousness. Amen? So we start this morning on blessed, happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen? The world hunger and thirst for happiness. That's their hunger and thirst. There's a pleasure. There's a pleasure mania in our society today. So we live in a society that everything is geared up on, say, like today, there's Super Bowl, right? Do you know that there's also Super Mall? Right? Mall. There's a Super Bowl. I'm glad. I'm sure all the men probably they're there in the Super Bowl, and all the women in the Super Mall. Mall of Asia. If you're going to the Philippines, there's Mall of Asia. My gosh, I didn't realize that's big. Huh? How many blocks there? And you just go to that Mall of Asia. I think everything that you need is all there. Huh? So, but there's that been going on the mania that even during the weekdays, there's that those happy hours. Have you been to happy hours? Why did we call it happy hours? But because they think they can have a happy time in there, right? That, but that, you know, that, but that, that happy hour is only from what? 4 to 6? It's only to that person. It doesn't last forever, right? So there's those happy hours. They think that they will be happy, you know? And they didn't realize that really happiness is the byproduct of having a relationship with God. Amen? Of having a righteousness that God has instituted for you and me. Amen? The whole world is seeking for happiness. And they didn't realize that happiness is really having a relationship with God. So, happiness is the result of righteousness. You're only as happy as you are holy. Do you consider yourself holy? Yes? Or you're not sure? Your holiness is not through our works. Your holiness is through our right to our right relationship with God. Amen. Don't wait that they will
before you become saved, they're gonna
don't wait to be canonized. But no, because you're not gonna be canonized. Amen. You're not gonna be called Saint Myra. No? Saint Barbara. There's Saint Barbara. Santa Barbara. So you are holy not because of what you did. You are holy because of what he did in the cross. Amen? Amen? You have to tell yourself, I'm not holy of my own self. I'm holy because God, that's what God did to me. Amen? So that's why in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, joy, in that order. Okay, in that order. You cannot have joy without righteousness first. You cannot have peace unless you have those three things that we study, poor in spirit. Mourn for your sin, and that you will make, because of that, you will make, and that you will inherit the earth. Amen? So, start with righteousness gives you a peace and gives you a joy. You are only happy as you are holy. You are only as happy as you seek righteousness or the ways of God. Even in the church today, there is a charismatic circle. If we are not careful, we think Christianity is a place to go and find the thrills. You know, I'm going to get a blessing. You know, we come to church, and I want to go there to get a blessing. Or so I can be happy, so I can have experience. You know, we talked about that this morning. You know, we don't go to church to get a blessing. We go to church because of him, because of God. Amen? So I can be happy? No, happiness is to having a relationship with God. Amen? You're not coming to seek God. If you want his righteousness and you want to seek his ways, that's one thing that will give you the thrill. That's going to give you an experience that's going to make you happy, is to have a relationship with God. Amen? There are people that are only seeking for experience. So they go for a recycle. We used to have a group of people here in the church, and they said, Pastor Ed, let's go to Anaheim. There's so-and-so is speaking. So you know what they do? They go there a night before just to begin to hear the message of this big-time speaker. And then after that, they go home. After a week, it's gone. They go for another experience. They go for another one. See, but if you have a relationship, a right relationship with God,
You know what?
They can send you to Mars. You're still happy. Right? They can send you back in Tumbaktu. You're still happy. Because God is in so corazon, right? Inside us. Amen. And we experience that. The lesson that we have at 9:30 in the morning of Sunday, it's powerful. Amen. And thank you for Sister Myra for that desire that she wants to teach us on that area. Amen. So now experiences are part of Christian way of living. But that's only the ways or the means to an end. Our ultimate goal is Jesus Christ. Our ultimate goal is the Holy Spirit. Our ultimate goal is Father in heaven. Those are the ultimate goal that we have. But we experience those things, those relationships. Amen? But those are the ways to an end. Amen? Those who seek happiness without righteousness is like a person with serious disease. And he will go to a physician and tell the doctor, you know what, doc, I hurt all through my side. Can you just take this pain on my side? So the doctor will give you a shot or morphine. Do you think they take care of the problem? No, this problem is still there. The pain might be taken out, but the problem is still there. So we try to be happy after covering the very things that God wants us to expose our life. There's something wrong in our body. See, it's just like, I am a Christian. I want to be honest with you. I do not hunger and thirst for God. I come to church, I put on my dollar offering, I just got an emotion, I go to a routine every Sunday. I cannot say I hunger and thirst for God. I don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is the problem? It describes one simple word. You are sick. I am sick. If that's the way I feel. Amen? When I stop eating in actual sense, and I'm not hungry anymore, I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat breakfast. I don't want to eat lunch. I don't want to eat at night. And Rose and Irvin will say, Dad, are you okay? Because it's normal for me to eat. And so are you, right? If I'm not eating, I'm sick, right? That's norm for our body. You need to eat maybe once a day or twice a day, but you have to eat. And there's something wrong with you if you're not hungry. Something wrong with me if I'm not hungry. It's normal to be hungry. It's normal for Christian to hunger and thirst for God. And if he does not, he is sick. Just plain sick, right? Now, what do I have to do? I can cover it up with something artificial covering. Take some spiritual aspirin. Just try to pump myself so you can get down to the bottom and find what's wrong. Why? I have lost my hunger. So, in Luke chapter 14, verse 15, are you still there? In Luke chapter 14, verse 15, are you there? Did I see Luke? Yeah, Luke chapter 14, verse 15. Are you there? Luke chapter 14, verse 15, 23. I'm just going to read that to you. I think I read this morning. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat
at the feast in the kingdom of God.
Verse 16, Jesus replied,
"A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who have been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I just go and see it. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them. Please excuse me. I cannot come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there's still some room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. Tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.
So all this group of people that turned down the invitation, these are all excuses. You can learn something, because if it is these things that robs us from our hunger and thirst after God. These are the things that will deny, that will make us excuse from being hunger and thirst after God. There's nothing wrong in buying a piece of land or buying a house. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong buying a yoke of oxen. There's nothing wrong in buying a car or an investment. There's nothing wrong getting married. But he is simply saying that whatever you allow relationship to this world to be more important than your relationship with him, we are in deep trouble. Can I hear it say amen? What I'm saying, if you allow relationship with the world more than our relationship with him, we are in deep trouble. So what you're saying, Pastor Ed, you know, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong if you move relocate yourself or buy a new house. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you prepare your relationship with your time on those things during Sunday time, where you have fellowship with him and exalting him with your brothers and sisters, there's something wrong. Or you don't hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God, there's something wrong. Amen? What kind of righteousness that we seek? We are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Did you see that? Hunger and thirst. There's food and water. So what kind of righteousness that we seek? We are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's two kinds of righteousness. There are two kinds of righteousness in the Bible. In the book of Romans, it talks about positional. Did I say that right? Positional righteousness. Right? That we can find that in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. It says, "What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it." They did not pursue righteousness, but they obtained it. A righteousness that is by faith. But in verse 31, "But Israel, who pursued the law of righteousness, had not attained it." So the righteousness that the Gentiles had, that they did not pursue, did not work for it, but they got it by faith. And then the Jewish, the Israelites, who pursued the law of righteousness, has not attained it, because they worked for it. God is saying, your righteousness that you have is by faith. You didn't work for it.
God give it to you when you trusted him of your life. Amen.
Look, okay, let's look up Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Are you Romans chapter 9? That's after Acts. Chapter 9, verse 30. Are you there? Are you already there? Okay, verse 30 of chapter 9, it says, "What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it? A righteousness that is by faith? But Israel, who pursued the law of righteousness, had not attained it." Why? Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. See, they did not get the righteousness that God has available for them because they worked for it. They worked for it. But God said, "No, you cannot have the righteousness by working on it. I just give it to you when you have put your trust on me." So that righteousness, there are two. The positional righteousness, that's what you receive it by faith. Having a relationship with God, you are happy because that's the byproduct of the righteousness by faith that we have, that God has given to us. Amen? That's why you have that positional, right? Positional righteousness. And then there's another one. It's a functional righteousness. A righteousness that come by our activity, by our lifestyle, by our lifestyle. See,
when we start acting, when we start displaying our righteousness is functional. The first three attitude that we have, when we try to apply that in our life, to be that attitude of a Christian, then you start working on the functional righteousness of God. You have that positional righteousness. It's by faith that God has imputed to you and me. Then when you start or applying this first three beatitude that we have, you're displaying, you're functioning righteousness. Take effect in there. How many are with me? So those are the righteousness,
functional and positional. So there is a righteousness that, now listen to me closely, the Bible does not teach us one without the other. That two go hand in hand. Amen. Now that we have
that position by faith, we are righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. Now we have to display that. You have to act on it. You have to start walking in it because it has to go hand in hand.
Amen. So we can say that I got a positional righteousness, and so I have to start having functioning and been acting on that righteousness that has given to us. Amen? Amen. The two righteousness are to function into our lives. The Bible says that you will know him by his works. By his works. You know the person that is a Christian when he starts bearing those fruits in his life. Amen? See, godliness is our position before God. Righteousness is our position before men. Amen? Godliness is our position with God. And then righteousness is because it's display the attitude of God in our life. So that's our relationship with men. Men have the right to look upon our works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. That's why being meekness, being a witness to the whole world.
Amen. Now, good works does not bring us the ticket to heaven. The work, because we are saved, right? We are working not to be saved, but the work, it's because we are saved. Amen? We are not working for our salvation. We are good works because we are saved already. Amen? That's very important that we need to understand, because the righteousness that we seek really summarized in this way. God is righteous, so righteous that we thirst after Him. Amen? If you don't thirst God and His righteousness, that means you are sick, brother and sister. That means Ed is sick. If I'm not hungering and thirsting about the righteousness of God. Amen? So we want to know God. We want to be close with Him. We need to draw near to Him because He will draw near to us. And we want to please Him. That's the hunger and thirst that Matthew is talking about. Amen? We are to hunger and thirst. And it's interesting, he put it this way. Bread and water. Hunger for food and hunger for water. And you cannot help to understand this too. To hunger the ways of God, the teaching of God, the life of God in you. And the thirsting has to do with the Holy Spirit. Amen? The thirsting has something to do with the Holy Spirit. When we come to hunger and thirsting, we come to conclusion that the result to fulfill our hunger and thirst is not in me. There's nothing in me that will fill the hunger. There's nothing in me that will fill the thirst. It has to come from outside. No, there's nothing I can do. The hunger and thirsting is not for me. There's something in me that can fill that. That can make me full. Or I can not hang and thirsting. It will come from the outside. And that's why the focus is on the outside. It's on Him. Or it's on Jesus Christ. Who is the bread of life? Who is the thirsting and the water? Living water. Amen? It has come from outside. It comes from God. It comes by knowing Him. It comes by presenting ourselves before Him. Amen? I had this scripture. You can just write it down. I don't know if we have that herb. In Psalms 38, verse 9, it says, "All my desire is before you." That's the psalmist is saying, all. Say that with me, all. All, not only part. All of my desire is before you. Isaiah 26, verse 9, it says, "With my soul I have desired you in the night." With all of his soul, desired you of the night. Psalms 42, verse 2, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." In Psalms 143, we have that there. It says, "My soul longs for you like a thirsty land." Wow. Psalm 63, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." To hunger and thirst in the biblical point of view is to know Him. To know His ways. To walk in His ways. You know, the first Sunday of the year, God's word for us is to draw near to Him, is to know Him more this year. That's what God wants us to know, because we cannot fathom the deepness of His love, the deepness of His care for you and me. So we need to know Him more. We need to hunger and thirst of His righteousness. Amen? To know Him more. If you lose your love for Jesus, the devil will do everything that he can. He will point out man's failure out of you and the church's failure. And you might think, man, I'm a loser. No, God is in you. You have to make sure that your righteousness is about, it's not what you did. You are righteous because of your relationship with God. Amen. People will think you're a loser. No, God, I'm with God. How can I be a loser when God is a victorious God? Amen? Because the whole world, Brother Paul, the whole world will tell you, oh, you're nothing. Amen? And let me close this morning. How do you really seek righteousness? First of all, let me tell you, filled with and how to keep that constant feeling going. The scripture says six different things that we are filled with. We are talking about, they shall be filled. God is talking about abundant life and eternal life. Amen? We illustrate this, how to be filled. Because the first thing, the first three that we have, remember the first three beatitudes, those are the foundation. About this, how you're going to be filled, if you're not sorry for your sin, you're not going to be filled. See, but if you feel sorry for your, if you mourn for your sin, God forgive me, I have sinned against you, then that strike you, then you're entitled for that righteousness that God has given you. If you don't have a pouring spirit, if you're not me, you're not going to be hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Amen? That's why this first three is very important. It's very important to understand it, because the rest of the ten, this is the Ten Commandments of the New Testament. If you're Seventh Day Adventist, you can have your Ten Commandments in Exodus, but for Christians just like you and me, these are the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. Amen? Listen to Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That you may be filled. Who will fill you? The Holy Spirit. It's only the avenue. It's the only one that can fill you is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Philippians chapter 1 verse 11, Paul said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. See? You can feel the fruit of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, it says, you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You may be filled with the knowledge of his will and understanding. Acts chapter 13, verse 52. It says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now, these are the feelings that you and I are filled with when we start seeking God. Amen? I believe it is worth looking at and applying it in our daily walk with God. Because blessed, happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you're not hungering, if you're not thirsting for righteousness of God, you will never fill. Amen? And how could I keep this from losing, this hunger and thirsting? Number one, avoid everything that opposes it. Whatever opposes it, avoid everything that opposes the knowledge of God. You cannot be a Christian and Christ-like and walk in the gutter of life. Amen? Avoid all those who are infected of unrighteousness, evil companionship, corrupt good morals. I am not saying that you cannot have a friend of a sinner. I'm talking about companionship, fellowshipping. You cannot have your lifestyle living in the dens of iniquity and say, I am there to be righteousness. You will find the effect of sin will come there. Amen? Number three, avoid those legitimate things that take the edge of my hunger and thirsting for righteousness. Something could be legitimate here. You avoid certain books, magazines. You avoid certain videos and movies and programs. You cannot tell me that you can sit for 2-3 hours in the movies and watch video, and after watch you can say, I have hunger for God. It won't work. It will take you the other way. It will put you in your imagination and thought that will rob you of your blessedness. It will rob you of your happiness. Number four, I will go where the food and the water are. If I'm thirsting, I'm not going to the desert, right? I'm heading to the river. I'm going to the water, and I'll be satisfied in the house of the Lord. Amen? If you're hungering and thirsting for God, you don't go to the bar, right? You don't go to Lakers game, because they are losing, but even though they are winning for 2 consecutive games. But if you're hungering and thirsting for God, go to church. Go to that fellowship. Go to that Bible study. Go to that the lesson that we have. Man, this is excellent, Sister Mike. Man, because the Holy Spirit has been set aside in every churches in America. Amen? The Holy Spirit has been ignored. And that's why going to church is boring. Without the Holy Spirit that will bring conviction, it's boring. Amen? If you're hungering and thirsting, go to the river of God. Amen? And what's the river of God? It's the church. Amen? That's where the river of God start. It's in the church. Amen? In Psalms 46, verse 4, it says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. So what's the city of God? It's the church. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. Did you see that? Psalms 46, do we have that there? No? Okay. Look at Psalms 46. It's because it's powerful in there. It says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Did you see it? Psalms 46, verse 4. Did you see it? Yes? There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. See, when we come together, God says, you know what? You are entering vision. That's where God tabernacled in you. God lives in you. Amen? God lives in you. Tabernacle in you. That's the place, the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. In the midst of who? Of her? What's her? The church. That's his bride. Right? The bride of Christ. Right? Amen? God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God just, you know, I see if Sierra's not going to move. Huh? Right? God shall help her just as the break of dawn. Man, that's another revelation that we have in here. In the midst of her, she shall not be moved. That means God says, you know what? Stay there. I saved you for another 4 years. That's true? That's another revelation in here. Right, Sister Camille? Stay there. Stay. ICFC, don't move. Amen? Because why? Why do you think we shall not move? It says, God shall help her. Oh, hallelujah. Right, Sister Vicky? God will help her. Oh, that's another revelation, Brother Wayne. Huh? Brother Ray, God will help her just at the break of dawn. Hallelujah. Are you excited, you guys? Huh? The righteousness, which is only get it from having a relationship with God. Right, Sister Myla? God is not going to move us out here. Because why? Because He's going to help us. Amen? God is in our midst. This gathering this morning is not just have come and we sing a song and take an offering, but to deliver the message and we go home. No, there is that river of God that is flowing in the midst of congregation. Oh, hallelujah. The river of God. Amen? Remember, it would not last. You will hunger. You will be hungry again and again. That's why it's an ongoing. Because by the time we go home, we're hungry again. How many of you eat 3 times a day? 4 times. Sister Rose, he eat all the time. Every 2 hours. Munchy, munchy. She's hungry all the time. Amen. But she's also hungry of the Lord. Amen. How many of you are hungry? I'm hungry this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not gonna have a pot blessed today, right? But next time. Before I close this, there is a suggestion that we're gonna have our Valentine dinner next week. Be catered. Huh? Where do you guys? What kind of food you guys would like to eat? Huh? Alfredo's? Italians? You want Italians? How many wants Italians? How about Eduardo's? Brisket. Eduardo's. Anybody? What else? What does any suggestion? Titros. So we gonna go for Italian? Huh? Chicken mariani, what do you call it? Parmesan? Huh? Sbarro is Sbarro. Okay, you guys want Italian? Amen. You don't have to prepare food. Amen. Brother Wayne?
Alfredo's is the only Italian restaurant there is. There is no other Italian restaurant.
We have Napoli. Napoli is good too. Maybe we'll order from Napoli and we ordered from Alfredo's. No dessert. Oh, Sister Rose said that we need to bring dessert. Huh? Portos? Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to order Alfredo's. What we going to order, Sissy Camille? Huh? A chicken, and what do you call that? Do we have that? We have lasagna. Salad is good, huh? Spaghetti and meat. You can cook that better than them. Okay. So we gonna have Italian dinner. Huh? That's Italian, right? Okay. We have Italian dinner next Sunday. Brother Ken, what do you suggest? No, is he still here? Oh, Nana Irina will not be here. How about you? Huh? Yeah, he will be here. Oh, not anymore? It's gone. Oh. How about you, ladies? Okay. That's then. Brother Ken, Okay. Okay. That's it. Italian? Okay. Huh? Okay, shall we pray? Can I ask the worship team to come up? Okay, so blessed. What did we learn? Oh, hunger and thirst, hungers for righteousness, and they shall be filled. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for this constitution, Lord, the framework of your kingdom, Father God, that we learn, Father, that we may be able, Lord, to hunger and thirst after you, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, God, to this morning. Thank you for your blessing, happiness, Lord, that only comes from you, Father God. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father God. All blame belongs to you, Lord Jesus. And we ask all of this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.